Earlier this year, we covered the flood of anti-Affordable Care Act ads that aired right before the end of the first phase of enrollment. The administration needed to get millions of young people to sign up for coverage before a March 31st deadline, or else the law just wouldn't work. It was going to be tight. The ads got intense, even cartoonish.
All right, can you swing on over, scoot on down, and try to make yourself comfortable?
One notorious anti-Obamacare ad featured a creepy Uncle Sam giving patients terrifying internal exams. Spending on negative Obamacare ads eclipsed spending on positive ads by a remarkable 15 to 1. Did they have any impact? Neeam Yuragi, a governance studies fellow at the Brookings Institute, says that, in fact, they did.
Anti-Obamacare ads increased the Obamacare enrollment number.
How is that possible?
There are basically two theories. The first one is that with the negative ads, citizens' awareness about this subsidized service increases. And the more ads they see, the more they know that such a service exists. So they will go and look for more information about the service. The other theory is that citizens who are exposed to overwhelming number of negative ads about Obamacare are more likely to believe that this service is going to be repealed by the Congress in the near future. So if a citizen thinks that this service, which is subsidized heavily by the government, is going to soon discontinue, he or she will have a higher willingness to go and take advantage of this one-time opportunity before it goes away.
However, there are a tremendous number of variables in why people sign up for the coverage. The cooperation of the state, the nature of the law in that state, the cost of the premiums. All this, combined with the disastrous rollout of the website, would seem to create a lot of confusion and uncertainty as to how you arrived at your conclusion. So tell me how the study worked and why you think the results got past all that noise.
What we did was that we took the per capita spending on the negative ads and studied its effect on the enrollment ratio in Obamacare. And to calculate the per capita ad spending, I simply divide the total amount of dollars spent on negative ads to the total residents of that state.
Then you went ahead and determined how many people out of those eligible for this kind of insurance, either the uninsured or those who have private insurance, actually went and got Obamacare.
Exactly. Let's say that there are 200,000 people out of a total of 1 million residents in that state who were eligible for Obamacare. And at the end of the first open enrollment period, 50,000 people out of those 200,000 people actually went and got Obamacare. The enrollment ratio in this state would be 50,000 divided by 200,000.
So how do you answer critics who say, how do you control for income? How do you control for the relative costs of all the premiums that they're paying?
The short answer is that we also measured as many variables as we could. So, for example, we accounted for the proportion of the residents living under the federal poverty line. We considered the effects of the private insurance premiums in our analysis. We are going to publish the reports very soon, and your audience would be able to access much more details about the effects of all of these variables that we mentioned.
Kentucky and Arkansas and North Carolina have tightly contested Senate elections coming up. There were far, far more ads in those states than, say, in New York, where there were hardly any. In those states, do your results hold up?
They do. And those states are among the states that actually represent a high number of Obamacare enrollees.
Uh-huh.
The point is that I think the opponents of the Obamacare did a strategic mistake by overwhelmingly airing negative ads, which led to the popularity of this service and higher enrollment. This is not a unique phenomenon. We have seen similar effects in other contexts. For example, There is a study in the Journal of Marketing Science published in 2010 by researchers from Wharton School and Stanford, and they show that the negative reviews at New York Times would increase the sales of the books of the unknown authors.
A bad review is better than no review at all.
Correct. The 50 Shades of Grey, you know, many of the reviews were negative. However, those negative reviews may have led to its popularity and increased sale.
Mm-hmm. I guess the heart has its reasons.
Yeah. Now I'm thinking about it. I'm somehow comparing Obamacare with 50 Shades of Grey. So I just remove that part. You know?
We are so not doing that unless you insist. Niamh, thank you very much.
You're welcome. Glad to be on your show.
Niamh Yeragi is a governance studies fellow at the Brookings Institution.